New York City is caring for some 50,000 migrants who arrived over the past year. Many asylum seekers escaped violence and death threats at home. Having crossed the border, having reached New York, they can't get work permits and have no stable housing. The city now plans to move many of them to other cities, and the migrants are asking what that means for them. NPR's Jasmine Garst spoke with some of them.
Jose walks a lot. In fact, he spent the last 6 months or so walking. Jose is from Venezuela. It wasn't easy getting here, he says. At the U.S.-Mexico border, he told authorities he was in danger and needed asylum. He was bused to New York, but officials here say they're at capacity.
Our right to shelter laws, our social services, and our values are being exploited.
That's New York City Mayor Eric Adams in October, around the time Texas stepped up sending buses packed with migrants to New York and other sanctuary cities. Adams has said it will cost New York at least $1 billion this fiscal year. But for Jose, going back home is not an option.
No. No puedo volver para allá. Corro peligro.
Jose has asked that we withhold his last name because he fears for his family in Caracas. He was a truck driver there, which made him easy prey for gangs who he says threatened to kill him. A few weeks ago, he was living at the Watson Hotel in Midtown Manhattan with other migrants.
De que el gobierno debería como que ser un poco más flexible, pues.
He says he needs a work permit so he can move out. He worries about being transferred to one of the shelters where there's been reported outbreaks of chickenpox and food poisoning. NPR reached out to New York City officials several times regarding these health concerns and received no response.
Chickenpox?
Desiree Joy Frias is an organizer with South Bronx Mutual Aid. She recently went to Queens to deliver donations to migrant women and children.
I'm an attorney by trade. It's really disappointing to see the way that these people are just shoved into these hotels as permanent housing. It's not sustainable and it's not healthy.
Care of recently arrived migrants has fallen largely on everyday New Yorkers and mutual aids. Food, clothing, legal advice, and health care is being addressed by nonprofits and concerned citizens. Today, Frias is checking out a rash on a baby's leg. The baby's mother, Alba Hernandez, suspects it's from the milk they get, which she says is sometimes spoiled. Hernandez is from Colombia. She says her family was driven out by guerrillas. They've been in the U.S. for 5 months. Since she can't work, she can't pay an immigration lawyer. And what she's describing is the vicious cycle a lot of migrants say they feel trapped in without a job. New York City has just unveiled a blueprint to address the crisis. It includes working with other cities to relocate some of the migrants and workforce training while asylum seekers await a work permit from the federal government. The plan has been met with skepticism. One concern? A work permit can only be requested 6 months after an asylum application has been submitted. Advocates say immigration courts are so backed up, that can take over a year.
If they do everything right away and perfectly, probably a year, but more likely a year and a half to 2 years.
That's Camille Mackler, executive director of the Immigrant Advocates Response Collaborative. She says people are looking at as much as 2 years without a legal work permit.
It's a system that is forcing people to work in the shadow economy because that's the only way that they're going to have to survive.
Many asylum seekers are already taking matters into their own hands. I met Luis outside the Watson. He's 21 and scared. He's asked that his last name be withheld.
Las amenazas, pues, de parte del gobierno por ser de la oposición.
His family got death threats for being in the opposition party back in Venezuela. Luis recently got a night job at a fast food restaurant in the Bronx. His plan? Stay at the shelter, pay an immigration lawyer. But then, in late January, the migrants at the Watson were relocated to Red Hook, a harbor area in Brooklyn, to a large auditorium filled with cots. Protests erupted. People said it was freezing. Luis says he had this realization. I like the U.S., he says. You just have to be psychologically prepared for it. Here, you're alone. With the money he'd saved for a lawyer, he rented a small room near the Bronx, which he shares with four other recently arrived Venezuelans. José, on the other hand, transferred to the new shelter at the harbor. He says he feels useless and frustrated that he can't send money back home to his family, who he says are hiding from gangs. He's stuck at this shelter. I just want to get out of here. So he does what he's been doing for nearly half a year. He walks. He describes New York to his family on WhatsApp. He admits he doesn't tell them how bad he feels. Instead, he just tells them,
es algo que tú como que has soñado desde pequeño, de verla. Siempre la ves por televisor y su historia. No sé, es como que un sueño.
It's what you imagined since you were a kid, just like on TV. It's like a dream. Jasmine Garst, NPR News, New York City.
Tomorrow on Weekend Edition, Christina Wong has something that's rare for an artist and activist, money in the bank. She received an arts award that includes a $500,000 cash prize.
So much of my identity has been forged in a certain scrappiness, so I'm just like, what do I do now that I have a safety net?
Wong's newest endeavor is a solo stage act involving pandemic masks. Listen on your smart speaker, your computer, your phone, or on the radio.